بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The two great impediments and obstruction in the way to virtue and righteousness, one is wealth and the other is the fear for losing one's name. So wealth and name, these are the two big obstructions. Now someone can ask, but woman is also a cause of big destruction. So that's true, that woman is also a cause of major destruction. So when we say the love for wealth, then really what we mean is the love for excessive luxury. When we speak about wealth, and wealth in itself, it's not an objective. Can you take wealth and use it up directly? Notes, or gold, silver, can you use that directly in any way? You can't use it directly. So wealth itself is of no use. But the luxury that comes with wealth, that is the problem area. And when we say excessive wealth, and with excessive wealth you can see a lot of women, you can see a lot of things. But you don't have the wealth, you don't see this type of luxuries, you don't see this type of comforts. So because this is a means to that, therefore we just bring it under the subtitle of wealth. But really it is these three elements. Sometimes it is name, sometimes it is wealth, and sometimes it is lust. Lust means woman, whatever else. Once you can get these three under control, inshallah, we are on the way to progress. The love for lust, name and popularity, and wealth, all is under control. Then to move, then it's easy. See, these three things are like, they are like halters on a horse. Horse wants to progress, but this thing is holding it back. It's a chain. It's not going to let you move. The moment you can control it, you know how to employ these halters of yours, then you're going to make progress. But you don't know how to use it. Using it incorrectly, then no matter what progress you make, you're going to be bogged down all the time. You're moving few steps and you're dropping down. You're moving another few steps and you're dropping down. It's like you're moving and you're traveling by car and you're getting punctured all the time. Have you traveled 1 kilometer, traveled so beautifully, and then suddenly you see there's a puncture, there's a burst out. Now, get out of the car and fix it up. Then you travel, you fix it up, and you travel again. Again there is a burst, a tire burst again. Again you get bogged down, again fix it up. So until and unless you don't fix these things up, then you're not going to progress. So one is wealth, one is name and popularity, and one is woman. Woman means lust. Now that lust in this day is not only confined to women, it's other things as well. Right? Like in the old days it was only women. Now it's day of technology and advancement, so they found lust other places also. Like they are exploring a lot of things, exploring the moon, exploring Mars, and all that. So they explored a new way, a new avenue for lust. Men to men. تَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ مَا سَبَقَكُمْ بِهَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. Approach men to fulfill your lust, leaving out women. Right. So it's the space age, technology and science moving very, very fast. So they found new avenues to fulfill lust. Right. Before, people were a little bit backwards maybe. So they didn't know all these things. Now the people are a bit more advanced. So with advancement, they come out with new things. Before they would eat halal food, pure, good food. Now they want to eat filth, someone wants to take in blood. So they come out with new things, very weird things. They want to swallow, right? Swallow and eat. Very, very dirty things. If you can look at what they're eating, many of these cults, etc., then it's dirt and it's filth that they're eating. But it's technology now, it's new technology, science, progress. So because of the advancement, they are eating new things, they're doing new things. Right? Before, it was that man, he gets married, his wife is exclusive for him. So they were ancient, they were old-fashioned. They were old-fashioned. Now they are sort of known as progress, scientific progress. So your wife becomes free for all, and you become free for all. Right? So it's all scientific progress they're making. So in the spirit of progress, a lot of new avenues they have discovered. But the people in the past could not discover, they discovered all these things. So here in this hadith, the impediment, the obstruction of man, the problem areas of man, Rasulullah is identified. Very, very simply, he identified the problems of man. This is the three areas of problems. And these are the areas that you need to work on. You work on these three areas, inshallah, you will be progressing all the time. But if you don't work on these three areas, then you're going to be in problems all the time. One is wealth, one is woman, and one is name. So these three things you have to work on all the time. There's not going to be a moment where you can become complacent and say, no, I'm fixed up now, and I'm on my way to progress. It's going to happen today, it's going to happen tomorrow, it's going to happen all the time, until there is a soul in your life. Hazrat Ji Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that Nahi bharosa is nafse ammara ka, farishta ye bhi ho jaye, usse badguma rehna. So there is no, you can't trust this nafs. Nafs, you can't trust it. Even if someone has to say that this nafs of mine has become a farishta, become an angel, then too you cannot trust it, you cannot rely on it. Nafs, you can't rely on this, even though it becomes an angel. If it says it becomes an angel, then too you must remain suspicious with your own nafs. Your own nafs must remain suspicious. One buzrug, now and then he used to talk a little bit freely with women. No lustful talk, but a little bit freely. They would meet with him and he would meet with them and talk freely. And someone objected, so he says, no, I don't have those feelings. You people have those feelings, I don't have those feelings at all. So in the dream, whether it was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or whether it was some other pious person, appeared in his dream and correct him and rectified him. And they told him, see, if in one room, if there was Hasan Basari, the highest of the pious and the muttaqeen, leader of all the muttaqeen, and the same room was Rabia Basriya, the woman that was the pious, most pious amongst the righteous and virtuous women. If both of them were in one apartment, Shaitan says, I will instigate one over the other. I will spur up one against the other. Even they are the highest order of righteousness, the highest levels of piety, but I will spur up one against the other. The woman against the man, and the man against the woman. Right? So there isn't a point where you can say safely that you are safe. Whether it is with respect to wealth, whether it's respect to woman, or whether it's with respect to your integrity and name, right? These three things, they're going to come as hurdles all the time, all the way. Don't ever become complacent. Don't look at your piety. Don't look now at Ramadan time, see my mind is not going anywhere, and I am free of all these things. You're just going to go and experiment this one time and you slip, and you keep on slipping afterwards. Then to get yourself back onto the right footing becomes very difficult, really. And more especially these gunas that relate to lust. Remember, this gunas that relate to lust, to a certain extent, I say wealth as well, those gunas that relate to these two things, they have the property of a drug. You know, we speak so much about drugs, it's Muslims and drugs, and be careful of him and don't, whatever, we speak about the person. But really the person that has become a prey to lust, he's become a prey to lust and became a prey to wealth, excessive wealth, then the effect of that wealth is no less. Hazrat Ji Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, ke sharab ka nasha subah tak to utar jata hai, lekin maal ka nasha to utarta nahi. Says that the drunkenness of wine, the intoxication of wine, by the morning it will subside. You drank maybe today, but tomorrow it's over. Tomorrow, or maybe 2 days after that, it'll be over, completely cleared. Right? But wealth, the intoxication of wealth doesn't leave you. Intoxication of wealth, it doesn't leave you. Don't think now that the intoxication of wealth is gone. It's not gone. You're looking for something harder all the time, like the drug. You're looking for something harder all the time. You look at one drug and something harder, something to give you a bigger kick, until you get kicked out. So this is exactly what wealth does to you, and this is what lust does to you. You want the harder kick, you want it all the time, you want it. And then it kicks you completely out after that. So these are the two, these are three the problem areas that these Musruhan al-Din and Mashayikh have identified. Lust, name, lust and wealth. Right? Sometimes you can call it two things, sometimes you can call it three. But basically this is the thing what they talk about. That these are the problem areas of men, and this is where they go off. The most pious, the most virtuous, the most learned, whoever, how pious you can be and how learned you may be, but you leave the person alone with a woman, then that is not any safe and comfort zone. It's not a safe zone, it's not a comfort zone. You know, when Shaitan will put what thoughts in that person's mind or that woman's mind, and you just go off, all the piety of Ramadan, whatever you did, and there's suddenly one experiment, you just one little experiment and you fell, you collapsed straight away. So rather, when you see a problem area, a doubtful area, you know you're going to slip there, don't even entertain it. Now a telephone came, for example, woman is telephoning on the other side, right? Especially now if you are working for a company, right? And you have to be on the switchboard, or you are the secretary, or you are a director, and they have to contact you, right? Now they know, those women know also that you are commanding that position, you have a lot of authority. So they will sweet talk you. They will sweet talk you, they will tell you one thing, and the second thing, and the third thing. You know, how about coming for dinner today? Or, you know, you're a very friendly person. I'm telling you exactly what women do. This is not something that I'm taking out of my imagination, but you're a very friendly person. The third way is, I'm going through a divorce process. You know. So these are all the ways that the baits to draw you in. They can't come and tell you, let's go out. Can't tell you straight. They'll have to use a bait very crudely, very, very, very discreetly. They'll have to use a bait and pull you in. So, rather you just cut it off completely. Now in your business place, for example, business place, wherever, if you have to employ a woman, then let it be some woman that's obese and, you know, not looking well, sometimes some smell coming out of her body also. So, even if you got feelings, the feeling will die. Even if you got feelings, that feeling must die. So that type of, even I tell you, even in the confines of your house, don't keep a mama that is attractive. For your own sake, for your own iman, don't do it. I'm telling you of real, real insolence. I'm not talking of imagination. Remember, this is not what I'm taking from my pocket. You see, you know, you pay her, right? So she is at your mercy. And she's prepared to do everything. She is prepared to do anything and everything. So, for your own iman, for your own sake, please, these things are very dangerous areas. Even the mamas that you keep in the house. One person came and related one incident, personal incident. Right? He says about the days of Jahiliyat, you know, when he was ignorant, you know. I don't know if some of you all seen this apartheid era, right? In the apartheid era, there was one era where a male couldn't walk around freely in a town, right? And females also were not allowed to be kept at any time and every time. Certain conditions, and you can keep one female. Right? So sometimes they're keeping two females, and they're hiding her in some part of the house. It was going on. Now, she's in your house, she's at your mercy. She's at your house, now she's in your mercy. You know, man says variety is the spice of life. He saw his wife too many times, so that he wants a variety. Now, the youngster, the young boy, he went and climbed over this mama. So the mama is saying, "Ay kona, man, ay kona. Manje lo baba na figile." This time the father came and now you're coming. Telling of that man is saying of his own account, "What manje lo baba na figile." Now this time the father came and now you're coming. You understand? So it's your own iman. I tell you, the safest thing is just keep them for the 3 hours, 2 3 hours, 4 hours. They do their work and they go out. They do their work and they out. This is all dangerous. You're playing with fire. You know, like a live wire. You're interfering with it. Going near to it. Interfering with it. It's going to shock you sometime or the other. You can't say that you are safe. So whether it is that mama in the house, whether it is that secretary that you've employed, whether it is that apa in the madrasa as well, whether it is an apa in the madrasa and you have to interact, then to be very, very careful. Very, very careful. Now that apa comes to you, hey, Murana, can you explain me this one here, man? Certainly, I'll explain it. I'll explain it nicely. And one thing goes to the other. One thing leads to the other. These are dangerous areas. It can happen to anybody. To a Murana, it can happen to a professional person. It can happen to an ordinary, common, ignorant person. To anybody, this thing can happen. Anybody. So these gunas that are related to lust, I feel right till death, you got no itminan about it. You got no complacent. You can't be complacent about it. You can't be secure about it. You know when it will slip. And your iman, right? Your iman is going. But apart from your iman, that's the worst thing that is going. Even for your material progress, it's not a good thing. And you get caught up in lust. I've seen 9 out of 10 persons, if they get caught up in lust, then materially also they can't progress. Because their minds are moving, they're moving in different directions. Now it's in the business hour, and their minds have not turned onto that lust. That is why the hadith also say, when you get into zina, etc., that this is an invitation to poverty. Zina, it's an invitation to poverty. So it must be, because your mind is moving. Your mind needed to be in business, to understand the business, how it's running, how to progress it, how to move it. Your mind needs to move constructively. But now your mind can't move on that. Your mind is moving away from that onto something else. You're trying to move it and it's moving out of the line. It's moving out of the cause. Then as much as you want it to be on the cause, it's moving. Definitely you're going to collapse. Definitely you're going to fall. You're going to break yourself. You're going to hurt yourself. See? So whether it is a Maulana, whether it's a Buzruk, whether it is whatever, but please, this area of woman, nobody is to be trusted. Nobody is to be trusted. It happens in your own homes. Let me tell you, all these things happen in your own homes, in good homes. Now that they are teaching all this right living in schools, at the very tender age, 8, 9, 10, 11 years of age, they're teaching these things here. There are reported incidents that come to me, where very good homes. If you see those people, you can't believe it. But there'll be a young child, 9-year-old, 10-year-old, and he's trying to interfere with a girl, 7, 8, 9 years, and they don't feel much about it. Because in those books that are taught to them in the school, they are teaching them every step what you must do, from this point what you must do, and how you must date, how you must mate, what you must do. All the procedure they are showing them. So when you're showing them all the procedure, then what they want to do, they want to experiment after that. It's human nature that you're showing them procedure. So what these children want to do? Up till now, the children were so innocent, up till now, I've seen recently, that child feels the child baby comes from the hospital. They don't know about this thing. They don't know the baby comes from the hospital. They don't know these things. Now the child, they're seeing all these things. They're seeing all these things, and we are doing these things in their presence. See this technology, the cell phone, or what have you, really, if you investigate it, ismuhuma akbaru min naf'ima. The harm is far greater. It outweighs the good. When the digital camera thing came out, and people were taking photos, this, that, and all that. So now it's so easy. It's so easy. You can just access it anyhow and wherever. And this thing was going on. It was just launched at the time. Maybe about 5 years or 6 years ago. It was just launched. Just came up in the marketplace. So, and at the same time that this thing is going on, there's another craze also that a woman is insisting that at the time of the delivery, my husband must be present. I'll get a lot of moral support that my husband is there at the time of the delivery. So this thing is happening. This on the one end, there's an urge, there's a cry from the woman's side that my husband must be there at the time of delivery. And this thing is going on at the same time. Now, this, where it's coming from, it's coming from Westernism. It's a Western style that the husband must be there while the child is being delivered. So now, our woman says, no, I need your support and all that. But where is it coming from? It's coming from this. Up till now, all these millions of children were delivered. They didn't have any support. How are they born? Now suddenly they start needing the support. All they born all this time, yeah, they were carrying on. Now suddenly they need the support. So it's coming in stemming from this place here. This is the stemming point. So at that time, 5-6 years ago, I told my fear is now that this woman, what they will do is they want to video the entire delivery. They want to video the entire delivery. It was just a guess, just something in my mind. They want to do it. 1 year or 2 years ago, one friend comes to me and he says that his sister-in-law, she videoed her entire delivery and she is showing it to her children. See how you were born, how he was born, and see this. So that's good, isn't it? Huh? This is that technology. And this is that scientific progress. And this is where it's ending, where it's coming to. So you are actually reduced to a beast. You know, everything happens in the presence of the small, the big, the elder. Don't you see a beast, an animal? Monkeys performing on the street, don't you see? They're fighting or they're mating, whatever they're doing, in front of the child, in front of the big, in front of everybody, the whole world, every level of life is taking place in full view of everybody. If they're fighting, if they're gnawing at each other, they're doing anything, but it's happening in full view of the whole public. So you've been reduced to an animal, to a beast. But just that you are an intelligent animal. What? You're an animal, you're a beast, but you're an intelligent animal. That's nothing more. That's how they have reduced you. That's how they brought you right down. On the one end, Allah Pak says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ. Created you in the best of molds. You're supposed to be the most respectable. Right? Highest standards Allah has created you in. And then, this is where they are taking you, they are dropping you right down. تَحْتَ الثَّرَى. Even beneath the earth, they are dropping you. So, but this drop and this type of collapse and humiliation comes with these three things: lust, wealth, and woman. We say these are the three things; these are the problem areas that we need to look after, take care of all the time. Hakim Akhtar Sahib, Dhamat Barakatuh, he has dedicated his life on just lustful sins, just live on lust, because he's seen the magnitude of it so much. Whether it's a home, how many homes you're getting? Presently, you know, it's very, very shocking. You'll be surprised. It's really shocking that more than 50% of our girls' marriages, 50%, within the first 6 months, there's a problem already. There's fight already. Within the first 6 months of marriage, there's problems already. They already need to go for counseling. They need to go for some type of advice and all that as far as their marriage is concerned. I'm telling you, 6 months, but there are incidents where problem and fights arose the second day, the day after the marriage, the day of the walima. The day of the walima, there are problems arising. And simple thing, over a simple thing, there's a fight and there's a divorce on the day of the walima. As they are enjoying that walima, the bride, the groom, both of them are sitting. So the bride asked the groom, you know, my father had sent you a set of clothing, why didn't you wear that for the walima? So the groom says, well, it's my choice, my prerogative, I wear what I want. Over that there was an argument, and over there at that walima there was a three divorce finish. The wedding took place, and the next day is where the parents of the both families supposed to be celebrating, happy, cheering. Yeah, right. When this lust is not under control, name is not under control, not regulated, then the cheer becomes a tear. Happiness becomes sorrow, becomes grief. Otherwise now it's a time of cheer. You never did this guna, you never ever fantasized, you never explored this area, and now you went into marriage. So it's a fantasy for you, it's an excitement, novelty. I never went into this. Everything, every day now, you're with your wife and you're just discovering something new. You must explore this jungle, I must explore this one here. Now it's a novelty for you all the time. Maybe 1-2 years, the novelty wears out only after 1-2 years. But it's such a novelty, such an excitement. But provided it was a pure, clean, chaste life, you had no dirty experience, no filthy experience. Otherwise, everything is experienced. Before marriage, there isn't a thing that you haven't experienced. Through photos, real life, everything you experience. You go through all the phases, and then marriage just becomes a formality. That's all. What else? Is there anything else? It's just a formality. There is no, like how you're doing an act, you know, or you're staging an act. Right? It's just a formality. It's nothing real. Right? It's just an act that has been staged. So your marriage also becomes just an act that is staged. Otherwise, you've gone through all the processes, everything you've gone through. So then that marriage, that spirit of marriage, the happiness of marriage, the novelty of marriage, all has been flapped, all killed. Your emotions, your sentiments, everything has been killed. You're just going and staging that act, that's all. So the staged act, how long is it going to last? It's going to collapse, it's going to break, you're going to cripple that, finish that human fabric, you have just destroyed it. So the very essence of survival, the very essence, the very, very soul of survival lies in just listen to Allah Pak and His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even though you can't understand it. Even though you can't understand what's the wisdom behind, the underlying wisdom. Why mustn't I talk to a girl? Why can't I mate with her, talk to her and understand her before marriage? You know, if you understand her before marriage, then I know what I'm going into. I know her, she knows me. There's better chances for the marriage to last, right? But let me tell you, all these are all innovative ideas that you have come up with. And those innovative ideas don't work. Look at this, compare. Simply, you know, you just look at statistics, that's how they look nowadays, right? Look at the marriages 35 years ago. 35 years ago, at the marriages that took place, or say 25 years ago, right? 25, 30 years ago, and compare them against the marriage today. 25, 30 years ago, 1 in 100 marriages were breaking, right? 1 in 100 marriages. And today, say me how many? You tell me how many marriages are breaking on the rocks, marital problems, how many? You will say at least about 7, 8 out of 10 marriages are on the rocks, marital problems, breaking up, divorce. It's so rampant, so common. What is the reason? And here is all arranged marriages. You are arranging it, pre-arranged, right? You're talking to the girl, she's talking to you, you're meeting up, going to the cinemas together, going to the clubs, whatever, and then eventually getting married. Right? You're doing everything, you understood each other. And after understanding each other, then you got married. Right? You understood, you saw everything. Then, if that was the recipe for a successful marriage, then why is it negative? If it's a recipe for a successful marriage, then why is it working out negative? That is why I say, but whatever it is, whatever it costs you, if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said something, if the Quran said something, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said something, then just take it. Don't worry about reasoning about, you know, trying to find an intellectual reason for it. Allah Pak said this, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this, they made us, so they know what is good for us, and they know the reasons. And we don't need to know the reasons. Be like the small children, you know. The small children, 2 years, 1 year of age, and the father is taking for inoculation, something, right? Or some health checkup, whatever. And the child protests, why am I taken to a doctor? Why am I put through all these processes? Say, you're too small, you just listen to us now. Right? That 1 year old child is saying now, right, hey, you're all eating roast and kebab, and you're all eating rice and everything, biryanis, and I must just suffer with only drinking milk. Now the mother feels pity of the child and says, no, I will give you all the roast and kebab and dry and all that, what will happen? You'll kill the child in one day, you'll kill the child. So there are some things that you can't understand. It's beyond our understanding. Not that it's against reasoning, but it's beyond our understanding. So the simple ways, Allah Pak said this, Nabi Sam said this, let's go by it. We don't want to know the reason. And really, it is against the spirit of love. It is against the spirit of love. Right? You know, your wife tells you, tomorrow is Eid day, so you better see that you organize that flowers from the florist tomorrow, you know. So, will you put up an intellectual debate with her? What is the rose now? And you know, 100 rands, bouquet of flowers that I must get to you. And in a few days, it will wither away, all dry and fade away. What is the intellectual reason behind that? Will you put up a protest? You won't put up a protest against her. So, no, you want it? No, just take it. Don't take 100 rands, take 500 rands also. You'll take. Won't you say that? So, that is love. And love requires that you don't reason.
for everything, you don't reason. Right? Now you have to reason for everything, that is going directly against the spirit of love. It's going against the spirit of love. You want to reason for everything. So if you say, if we say that we love Allah Ta'ala and we love Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then the demand of love is just do it. Just to do and die. Not who and why. Do and die. Finish. Not who and why. Who, why, what. That is not in the spirit of love. Spirit of love, just do it. Allah Pak said this. Nabi Sam said this. Just let us do it. Walk, come into the masjid with the right. Nabi Sam said it. Hum to Nabi Sam ke diwan hai. He said, let's do this, let's do it. He said, now go into the toilet with the left, right, we'll do it. Eat with the right, we'll eat with the right. Wash in the toilet with the left, we'll do it with the left. We won't ask this reasoning. Why? What is the reason? What is the wisdom? What is the philosophy? That we don't want to, we don't want to know that. Even if it surfaced, it surfaced, but we don't want to know that, really. So, what's missing out, the missing element in our lives, is love. You see? When a person has got love, then he doesn't ask. But he's asking too many questions, that is indicative of the man not having the desired amount of love. Right? You're going to the Kaaba Sharif, at the Multazam, you are crying. Someone asks you, what is the logical reasoning for you to cry at this place? The stone here, so why are you crying there? Why, you void of love. You don't have love. You the Rosa Mubarak and you're crying one way, profusely, one way. Zaro Kitar ro rahe, one way you're crying, uncontrollably. Why, what is this? I just see some cage here, that's all, I can't see anything here, but what are you crying for? But you don't have love, you don't have muhabbat. That because your heart is void of muhabbat, therefore you're asking this type of questions. Oh no, why are you going to Makkah, Medina, na'uzu billah? Why are you going there? You're going to enjoy yourself, you know, enjoy yourself. What are you going to get there? Such a crowded place and all that, what are you going to get? But you're void of love, you don't have muhabbat. If you have muhabbat, so you're not going to ask these questions. You're void of muhabbat or you are deficient in muhabbat and love, you're going to ask these questions. It's one of these two things. Either you're deficient in muhabbat, or either you're deficient in the azmat of Allah Ta'ala. In the greatness, the glory of Allah Ta'ala. You don't have the desired amount of greatness of Allah Ta'ala. Therefore, you're flouting His commands. If you have the azmat of Allah Ta'ala, or the love of Allah Ta'ala and His dirisam, you're not going to ask these questions. But if there is a deficiency in love, or in respect, then definitely you're going to question, you're not going to be concerned, you're not going to be considerate. A small little police cop, traffic officer, and you're so concerned that all the regulations, if you're driving past him now, all the regulations, you become such a naked person now. Within the speed limit, got your seat belt, everything in order. What he can do? What can he do? The most he can do is charge you 200 rand. And now with the dealing and the wheeling, you can make it to 20 rand also. But the wheeling and the dealing, you can make the same 200 rand to 220 rand, you can do it. But it's an A, no man. You can't defy the law. You got a respect, you got a degree of respect for the law. So you will just observe all the laws as you are passing by. Right? So it's a deficiency of love, or it's a deficiency of respect that prompts you to flout the law of Allah Ta'ala. But if you have got the love of Allah Ta'ala, of His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you got the desired amount of love, and the respect for Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you're not going to break the law. And if it ever happens that accidentally some law has been broken down, then you'll be restless. Allah Ta'ala, may papi ho, mujhe maaf farma, may papi ho. Allah Ta'ala, do forgive me, I am a sinner. Allah Ta'ala, clear me out. Allah Ta'ala, I seen something wrong. And I was fantasizing that wrong. Was it a lad or a girl, whatever it was. But I was fantasizing, and some wrong thoughts were passing my mind. Just for the thoughts that are passing your mind, say, Allah, Allah, mito papi, me gune garu, Allah, do forgive me. Clear this thing from my mind. Now this is indicative of true love. Because you saw that this came as an interruption in the love of Allah Ta'ala. It came in the interruption, as an interruption of Allah Ta'ala, right? Right? Like, if the wife, if she did something wrong, say, please forgive me. And the husband, for whatever it's worth, he will never forgive. Say, this, never, I can't forgive this. The husband gets so infuriated, right? That how can she ever be unloyal to me? But on the other hand, the husband can be, wo so martaba bewafai ka kaam karta ho. He is unloyal 100 times over, but that is acceptable, right? Right? Understand? The husband on his end, He can be 100 times unloyal towards his wife. But that must be acceptable. The wife must just take it. And here the wife, if one time she is unloyal, she had it. Finish. She's bowled out. Khalas. Out of the game. She's out of the game completely. But now, on your side, if you do the same wrong 100 times, talking to girls, flirting around with them, or even whatever you're doing, other things with them. But the woman will just make sabr and carry on. See? As though we feel that we enjoy, we have a special law. Men feel that we are exclusive, we have exclusive rights. And women don't have these exclusive rights. Whereas the law is the same, whether that guna was done by a male or it was committed by a female. Whether that guna related to lust, eyes, whatever, whichever other way, if you committed it or the woman committed it, is it any different? See? You did it or that woman did it. Is it any way different? See? So when a person commits it, when he's got iman, he's got a love for Allah Ta'ala, he's got a love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then he'll feel restless. Ma'is aslami radiallahu ta'ala, you hear about it. They got the true love. The love is right till the peak. The respect is right till the peak. And guna has taken place. So he is restless, he can't sleep. Ya Nabi Allah, tahirni, purify me. Purify me, I can't stand this, I can't endure this. That I allowed an interruption between the love of my beloved, between myself and the love of my beloved. I allowed an interruption. Oh Rasulullah, just purify me, clean me out of this system. The system of the world, just get me out of it. Because I was unloyal. So you see how you feel, how dirty you feel. I must be purified, I must be cleansed. Now this is that intense love. You know, intense love which Allah Pak says, أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. Those believers are intense in their love for Allah Ta'ala. Their love is not just casual. It's not a casual love. It's a love that is intense. So if they slip anywhere, then they feel very, very miserable until they haven't been purified, they haven't been cleansed out. And they want the earth to be purified of themselves. تَحِرْنِي يَا رَسُولَّهِ. Ya Rasulullah, get me cleaned. I can't stand this. I can't endure this any longer. I've done this once. I've betrayed my love. May Allah that I've betrayed it. So I'm not worthy of being living. I need to be cleaned out. Clean me out, O Rasulullah. See, this is the qaza of iman. When that iman is to its peak, and when the respect of Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is to the peak, then this is the behavior. This is how you're going to behave. But if it is deficient, then you're going to do 101 things and you still feel, I got a lot of love for Allah Ta'ala, a lot of love for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It doesn't add up. The wife is flirting around with other men, and she says to the husband, no, darling, I still love you, man, I love you, I love you. You know what you say? These are all empty claims. If she is with you, and she is flirting around with other men as well, what will you say? Is that love? Say, no, you're betraying love. Hassan Basri, rahmatullahi alayhi. One woman came up to her, and she said to him, she says to him, that if the Sharia had only allowed, then I would have removed the niqab of my face. I would have removed the niqab of my face and allowed you to see my face, my beauty. And I will ask you a question thereafter. The question is this, that a man who's got a woman as beautiful as myself, is it right for him to take another wife? Right. If the Sharia that only allowed, I would have removed, uncovered my niqab and allowed you to see me, and then make a decision that a man who's got a wife as beautiful as myself, like as though the moon is shining on her face. She's so elegant, so beautiful, so perfect. Right. Is it proper for that man to take another wife besides me? Hassan Basir, he collapsed and he fainted. So the khadims, they sprinkled water, they got him up and all that after some time. Now, what happened? This woman, her statement sent a chill in your spine. What happened? Why you collapsed like this? He says, no, what happened was this. That I thought of the day of Qiyamah. If Allah Ta'ala were to ask, Allah Ta'ala removed the veils and He showed us His majestic countenance. And then He asked us, people that have got a Rabb like myself, is it right for them to worship a God besides me? People that have got a Lord and a Rabb and Allah, as majestic as myself, as great as myself, is it ever proper for them to take a Rabb besides me? Then what will be the answer then? So, the one who is in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is impossible for him, it is difficult for him. And if he falls into it, if he slips, he'll get up straight away, say, no, Allah Akbar, correct me, rectify me. Until that muck of that is not washed out, flushed out of his system, he'll feel restless. So I say that this is no different, no way different. This gunas that are connected to lust, is, get it clear, is no way different to a drug. Right? The person that's taking drug, we look down upon him. We look at him with contempt. But I tell you, the gunas that are connected with lust are no way different. The man is going to do it some way or the other. And today it's so easy. In the masjid, you can sit against the wall and you can enjoy it. With your cell phone, you can enjoy all that lust, you can enjoy it. In the masjid. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what you are doing. You can carry on doing whatever you're doing. Your piety is still there. And the personality is still there. You haven't lost your personality, your piety. Nothing is lost. But you're doing everything. All that lust you are doing in the masjid. Right? In the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you are doing this type of thing. And still you don't feel miserable about yourself. I mean, definitely the iman is definitely deficient. You don't have the love. The love that is required between you and the creator is not there. The respect that we have between Allah ta'ala and yourself is not there. If there was that respect, there was that love, then you wouldn't have behaved like this. The fact that you are behaving like this shows that you are empty of love. Shows that you don't have the azmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, yeh cheez paida karne ki. This is the thing that we have to build in ourselves, inculcate in ourselves, the love for Allah ta'ala, the love for Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This effort of the khanqa is for the same thing, that love. That love must permeate yourself, it must beat in yourself. Right. Then all these things become natural. They become natural to regulate your life, to correct yourself. It becomes an easy thing. It's not a difficult thing. It's an easy thing because you got that degree of love. You got the degree of muhabbat. You got the degree of azmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now to regulate it is easy. But you don't have it. For everything now you'll try and cover up, look for an explanation. No, I did this. My heart is clean. I'm immune to this thing here. I look at them, but I'm immune. I don't have the feelings and all that. So you'll make 101 different type of explanations. But if you got that love, then that love will definitely make you feel guilty. If you got that azmat of Allah ta'ala, and you got a respect for your relationship with Allah ta'ala, you will definitely feel out of place. You know, my relationship with Allah ta'ala is being affected. Right? In England, one person had sued his wife, you know, for extramarital relationship. So, the wife, she stands up and objects. She stands up and she objects. And she says, "My Lord, Your Majesty, my husband is very, very unappreciative. He says that I have betrayed him on 5 accounts, right? But what about the 100 times that I was loyal to him? He's talking about the 5 times that I was unloyal to him, I betrayed him. He's forgetting the 100 times that I was loyal to him." See, what a brilliant answer. Brilliant answer, isn't it? So for them it's all one, all kachumar. Like how a kutte ki zindagi, going out, flirting out someone here, going out that side. Nothing, shame, haya, everything is nothing. It's like a dog's life. The respect, that moral, that modesty, etc. is gone. So when we are living, I explained earlier also, that when we are living in this type of minority, with majority kuffar around us, so it is very likely that their culture, their ways and their colors rub against us. And then the morals and the modesty, the respect that we need to have, that is lost. So the only way to preserve this is to remain within our own people as much as we can. That's why they call it Shab Guzari or something. Buzuganadi, stay in the company, stay in the Shab Guzari. So you begin to remain aligned. You remain aligned. No, what are my values? Meri ghar ki cheeze kya hai? What are the values of my house? What are the values of my people? So you mix up with your people, you interact with them, you live with them. When you say your people, people that have your pure values, they've inherited that good pure values of your home. So interact with them, live with them, come to the these khanqas or shabguzari, whatever it is, right? There's good people, gathering of good people. Now, at least once in a week you're coming, but your mind is getting aligned. So now, these are not my values. I'm out there, I'm surrounded with all this type of kuffar culture. And I have to get myself washed out. I'll get myself washed out when I come to this type of companies. I come to this type of gatherings, my mind, my understanding, my reasoning will go right. And if I stay away, then I will go on a different tangent entirely, different cause. My family, everything is going in a different, tradition is something else, and I'm going on a different tangent, completely out. See the importance of identifying with your own people, with your own things. When I say own, those that are the bearers of the true colors of your home. Not anybody and everybody, but those that have the true, they bear the true colors of your home. Identify with them, live with them, interact with them. So the least that will happen is those false, evil, dirty colors will just fall off by the way, and you will at least be able to align yourself with the right people, right values, right type of colors. This is the least thing. To respect this relationship with your beloved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, respect that relationship with Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will need to align yourself. What is it? What is it? And why is it worthy of so much of respect? And why do I need to keep myself aligned with Allah ta'ala? Why do I need to keep myself aligned with Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That love will begin to pulsate in you. It will increase in you. And when that love increases, then all these things becomes natural, becomes commonplace. So this is the first thing. One is this, the other is name. And I explained earlier as well, one is the tongue, the evil of the tongue. 50-60% of the evil is because of the tongue. The same Ma'is Aslami radiallahu ta'ala, his incident takes place and he's stoned to death, right? And someone makes an incorrect comment. Someone makes a comment, see this person here, how he died like a donkey, and they stoned him to death and he died like this. So someone made it. So Rasulullah kept quiet. And as they were passing the road or something, and there was the dead corpse of a donkey or something with his legs protruding up. And Nabi Sam called those two people that were speaking against Ma'is Aslami radiallahu ta'ala, that go down and eat from the corpse of this dead ass. So how can we do it? It's haram. How can you do it? He said, what you were doing just now was worse off. You were speaking against Ma'is, you know, that he died like an ass, stoned to death. You were speaking out against him, making ghibat against him. That was even worse. And innahu lafi al anhari al jannati al an. Now he is diving into the very rivers of Jannat. He is there already, and you are backbiting against him. So you learn two things. One is when that person is charged with iman, with love of Allah Ta'ala, love of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then one is he will never go near. But if it happened by mistake, he will never be at ease. He wants to rectify, he wants to correct himself. He'll never be at ease. Like the lights went off in your house, you leave it. The lights went off. The pylon collapsed and the lights went off. 2 days, no lights. You'll say, no, never mind, one of those things, you'll do that. Somehow or the other, you want to substitute. You want to reconnect yourself. Hundreds of telephone going on to telecom, whatever. Right. So you don't feel at ease. Until you are reconnected, you don't feel at ease. So feeling at ease in the absence of lights, feeling at ease and comfortable when there's no lights shows that you really don't need lights. You really don't want the lights. They come, they don't come, right? But you're so deeply connected with lights that one day, 1 hour, it's unmanageable. You want yourself to be connected, right? You're so restless. So similarly, when the connection with Allah Ta'ala is deep, and there is an interruption in the line, then you will feel restless. You're making hundreds of calls to Allah Ta'ala, like you're making hundreds of calls to ESCOM, right? Hey, get it right now. What's wrong with you people? Why can't you get it right? So hundreds of calls you make to Allah, please forgive me, make me maaf. I did a stupid thing. Allah, make me maaf. Until you reconnected, you will feel very, very restless. Like how that light is gone in the house, you will feel very restless. Similarly, you will feel that the light within your heart has been extinguished. The light within your heart has been extinguished, so I need to get reconnected. And you will keep petitioning Allah Ta'ala, you will keep begging Allah Ta'ala,
until that light is reinstated into your heart. Right? And the second thing that you learn, that then that person who has been forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we don't talk against him. Right? He went there and he understood that it was his mistake. He came out of it, he asked Allah ta'ala's tawbah and pardon. So we don't speak out against him. When we speak out against him, make ghibat against him, then that is worse. That is worse. The person is cleansed. The Nisab is a shahid, he's a witness. إِنَّهُ لَفِي أَنْهَارِ الْجَنَّةِ الْآنِ. Now he is diving into the very streams of Jannat. And what you are engaging in is worse off. Understand the abuse of the tongue, misuse of the tongue. Allah Ta'ala Tawfiq Naseeb Kareem.